Welcome back to the program. While so much has been written about the Kennedys, surprisingly, very little has ever been written about the family by the family. Obviously, Jack and Bobby never had their chance. So like so much in the Kennedy family, it was left to Teddy to tell the family story and preserve the Kennedy history. He's done so by telling his own story. As the youngest of nine children of Joe and Rose Kennedy, he would become the patriarch of a true American dynasty. Now, in his autobiography, True Compass, completed only shortly before his death, he takes us on his own personal voyage from the perspective of a senator, a New Englander, and an Irish Catholic son of America. This morning, it's my pleasure to be joined by Ted Kennedy's editor, his friend, his collaborator on True Compass, Jonathan Karp. Jonathan is the editor-in-chief and publisher of 12 Publishing. He was previously editor-in-chief of the Random House Publishing Group, and it is my pleasure to welcome him here today to talk about Ted Kennedy's autobiography, True Compass. Jonathan Karp, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. This project, in many ways, grew out of the journals, the notes, the papers that Teddy Kennedy had been keeping for so many years. Talk a little bit about his sense of history and what he always intended to do with these papers and these journals.
I think that note-taking was ingrained in the Kennedy family because his first notes began at the age of 7 when he dictated some notes to his governess after receiving his first communion at the Vatican from the Pope, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started taking notes seriously himself when he was in his late 20s, helping his brother Jack campaign for president in 1960. So it seems as if this is a very serious family. You know, they used to argue about politics at the dinner table, and when you wanted to be heard, you had to be sure you knew what you were saying. And he actually said that he thought those dinner table conversations prepared him for Senate debate. So I think this was a family that cared a great deal about history. His mother, Rose, used to take the children on history trips throughout New England. They would go to Paul Revere's house and Bunker Hill and Plymouth Rock. And he actually continued that tradition as the patriarch, in his, much later, taking his nieces and nephews and children to some of those same sites, as well as the Civil War battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. He would rent out a bus, and 30 of them would pile in. So history has just always been important to the Kennedy family.
As you talked to him about this project initially, was there a sense of writing just in terms of his memoir, or was there also a sense that he was writing the Kennedy history?
Exactly. He wanted it to be about the intersection of his personal history and his family history and also national history. And when I walked into his study, what was striking to me were all of the books that were lined up on the shelves. They were serious works of contemporary American history. One of his favorite writers was David McCullough, and that was really the gold standard for Senator Kennedy. He wanted his book to have that same kind of historical richness, and he even actually tried to follow a habit of David McCullough's. He and his wife Vicki read the book out loud to each other. Every word of the book they read out loud to each other, just the way David McCullough reads every word of his work out loud with his wife Rose Lee. So he wanted it to be in the vein of something like Michael Beschloss or Doris Kearns Goodwin, but from his point of view, because he'd been a participant and a witness to so much.
Talk about that balance, because one of the things, I think Jonathan Yardley, writing in the Washington Post about this book, talked about it as the kind of Ted Kennedy project. To what extent was he looking to project a kind of singular, authentic voice in telling this story?
That's what it was all about. I mean, when we first met with him, he said that he wanted the book to be a full and honest accounting. And he said off the bat, he actually said, I know that I have to deal with Chappaquiddick and I have to deal with all of the adversity in my life, but I also want to talk about what I've seen and all of the extraordinary people I've had the opportunity to work with. This is a man who worked with 10 U.S. presidents, and he took notes after all of his meetings with them. So I had a chance to read those notes, and it was an opportunity that most historians would relish. So I do think that he viewed it as a major endeavor, but he was always very clear about the lens through which everything was going to be viewed. If he didn't know it himself, he didn't put it in the book. He tried, you know, he cut out a lot of context, you know, because he didn't know it personally. So it is his vantage point. I mean, we don't go into things about his brothers or his father that he didn't know.
To what extent did he have any scores to settle or records to set straight, which are so often a part of political autobiographies?
That's a good observation. That is often what these political autobiographies turn into. But his aim was higher here. First of all, he, by all accounts, was a man who was had a very good spirit, and he didn't hold grudges, and he wasn't he didn't have bitterness in his life. So there wasn't very much of that at all. And I think that he wanted it to be a life story and a family story and a story of perseverance more than anything else. He was going for something more universal than a political book, and it's not an ideological book. It's only ideological in the sense that part of his true compass was in being a progressive. So he certainly never ran away from that label, and he embraced it his whole life. That's who he was. But interestingly enough, he invokes his brother, President Kennedy, who said that in politics, it's a good idea to talk conservative and vote progressive. And he thought that President Kennedy thought that America was basically a conservative country, but that you could appeal to the enlightened self-interest of voters to support progressive causes if you talked about it in a conservative way. And Senator Kennedy joked that he was very good at supporting the progressive causes, he just wasn't very good at talking conservatively about them.
As you had the opportunity to look at all of these notes and journals for so many years and about so many issues, did you see any change, any shift in Kennedy's political positions and his ideological positions over all of these many years?
You know, that's a good question, and I think he was pretty consistent. Some of his views did change over the years. One of the most interesting places in the book where his policy evolved is in Vietnam. He had been in charge of looking at the refugee situation in Vietnam. He was very concerned about the people who were displaced by America's by the military engagement there. And over a period of time, he and his brother Bobby became convinced that the U.S. should not be in Vietnam and that military forces should be withdrawn. And watching that transition in the book is really illuminating, because you see how the situation could repeat itself with political leaders with regard to Iraq or even Afghanistan. And Senator Kennedy supported the troops. He wanted to do the right thing. It was a complicated time, and his position there certainly evolved.
You talked before about Kennedy's perseverance and how much he was aware of that. One of the themes that seems to run throughout his life, throughout this book, throughout this story, is this balancing of one, a sense of fatalism given all of the tragedies that he had been through, and yet the innate optimism that was able to triumph over that. Talk a little about that, Jonathan.
Well, he was certainly dealing with more loss than most of us would ever have to deal with in a lifetime. I mean, the thing that I think is so remarkable about Senator Kennedy's life is that he experienced more than you would ever put a fictional character through. I mean, I've edited some novels in my day, and if somebody sent me a novel about Ted Kennedy's life, I would say that it wasn't believable that one person could go through so much. And he did have to deal with a lot of loss in his life, but what he says kept him centered was his faith and his family. And he spoke about his faith with me in terms that I'd never heard him use before. He talked about how the resurrection gave him a feeling of hope, and how his faith allowed him to continue to go on rather than swivel into a, you know, I think his phrase was to swirl into a negativity and be overwhelmed by it. And his family was his true compass in another way. And after the death of Bobby, the way he threw himself into his family and became almost a second father to so many of his nieces and nephews, that gave him a real feeling of balance, and I think another way of making a contribution.
How was redemption, in his view of redemption, a part of that faith?
Well, he was a Catholic, and Catholics believe that sinners can be redeemed, and he tried to be better. That's how he put it. He thinks that it's perfectly understandable for political figures to be scrutinized by the media and to be criticized by the media. But he thought that the mark of a person was whether they learned from their mistake and whether they tried to do better. And I think he tried to do better. He believed, he was deeply inspired by his father. There's a scene in the book where he's a young boy and his father sits him down and says, "Teddy, you can either lead a serious life or a non-serious life. I'm going to love you either way. But if you decide that you don't want to lead a serious life, I'm not going to have much time for you. I have other kids." And he really took that to heart. He writes that he stared up at the ceiling after that and thought about it, and he decided to lead a serious life and a purposeful life. And I think that those words from his father, he was recalling them almost 70 years later to me, and it was clear that that was what he looked at as a turning point in his life.
There's also a sense of it being an authentic life, that even given the troubles after Bobby's death and his spiraling downhill and some of his own personal tragedies like Chappaquiddick and the plane crash, that the Teddy Kennedy that emerges at the end of his life is true to the same Teddy Kennedy that we saw early on in his life.
That's true. And I think that has something to do with this idea of perseverance as well, because this was a guy who didn't quit, and he didn't quit in his political career. He really could have lost his Senate seat if he had quit that, if he had done poorly in Massachusetts in 1980 against President Carter, and there was some real pressure on him to get out of the race then, but he didn't quit then. He held out. He certainly never quit on behalf of the causes he cared about, whether it was the minimum wage or peace in Northern Ireland or health care. So many causes. And he didn't quit in his personal life. When the doctors told him they only had a month or two to live, he didn't give up then either, and he lived for well over a year. He lived, I think, for 14 or 15 months after receiving a rather grim prognosis. So he believed in persevering, and he was a very positive, upbeat person his whole life. And the sadness was there, and the loss never went away. And he coped with that sadness, but I think he was never defeated by it. And that was the message that he really wanted to communicate to readers. I asked him, "What do you want readers to take away from this book?" And the message was not to support liberal causes or to realize how wonderful the Kennedys were. The message that he wanted readers to have was to persevere. He thought that idea was central to anybody's quest in life.
Two of the things that seemed to help him in that perseverance that he always could come back to for sustenance were, one, his wife Vicky, and two, his love of sailing. Talk about both of those.
Well, sailing was almost a religious experience for him. He described it as the place where the physical meets the spiritual. And I think it was also a place where he did a lot of his thinking. This is a man who was born into the public limelight. His birth was actually a news story. I mean, it wasn't a birth announcement. It was a newspaper story when he was born. That's how prominent the Kennedys were in Massachusetts. And I think always being in that glare, he dealt with it, and he never complained. This was a man who had an aversion to any kind of complaint or self-justification, which is another reason why we very rarely got his personal take on things. I mean, he kept it in because that was the way he had been raised by his father, not to complain. There was no crying in the Kennedy house. And he was a private person that way. And when he was at sea, he was in his most natural element. From the time he was a little boy and he saw his brothers out there, he wanted to be a sailor. And he also thought that sailing was a metaphor for life, that every voyage has a beginning, a middle, and an end. and that it reminded you of the natural order of things. So whenever he was facing adversity or whenever he was trying to cope with loss, being at sea reminded him of the natural order of life.
And talk about his wife, Vicky, because that was the other true compass in his life.
Yeah, she is just a remarkable woman, and I think that love story actually ought to give anybody hope. If you haven't found your soulmate yet, all you have to do is look at Ted Kennedy and Vicky Kennedy. They found each other relatively late in life, I think he was nearing the age of 60 when he met her, and he'd known her socially, but he never really had seen her. Or seen her for who she really was, I guess, until he met her at a party in 1990, I think. And they instantly began having dinner together, and he became very close with her children, and regarded them as his own children, really, and was so devoted to her and she to him. And it's just a great love story, and after they got married, his life had the fullness and the family that he'd always wanted to have. I mean, he writes in the book that family defined him, and I think that Vicky helped give him that definition.
Did he spend much time thinking about what if, what might have happened if one or both of his brothers had lived, if his life might have played out differently?
Well, actually, yes, and there's a passage in the book that I think some people are going to be arguing about for years, because he says that he's quite convinced that President Kennedy would have gotten us out of Vietnam, and that he had never actually publicly commented on this before. And I asked him his opinion, and he said that he felt that he would be accused of trying to burnish President Kennedy's image by coming forward with a statement. So that's why he'd never written it before. But he felt that for the autobiography, it was a legitimate question that historians would be wondering for years, and he wanted to weigh in on what he thought. And he had several conversations with President Kennedy where President Kennedy made it very clear that he intended to withdraw the military forces after the election. So he thinks that was another tragedy of John Kennedy's assassination, that didn't happen.
He began this book quite a few years before he got his diagnosis of the brain tumor. When he started, how did he envision the rest of his life playing out?
Well, I think he was very excited to campaign for Barack Obama, and he writes in the book that he believes that Obama has the potential to be a great president. I think he was already, strategizing about how to get health care through, and he really thought that there was a chance to get that done in a major way. I think he was optimistic about what was ahead. I think he obviously viewed the Bush years as a lost opportunity. He was deeply disappointed by America's involvement in Iraq. So he was just thrilled that he lived to see the election of Barack Obama.
Jonathan Karp, he's the editor-in-chief and publisher of 12 Publishing and the editor for Edward M. Kennedy's autobiography, True Compass, just published by 12. Jonathan, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it.